How is ministering going in your ward? Has the excitement worn off? Do you find that you still can't motivate those you lead to reach out and minister to those who need it most? Don't worry, Leading LDS is here to help. Go to leadinglds.org/ministering book and you can get a free copy of my book called A Culture of Ministering, Leading the Relief Society and Elders Quorum to Minister Unto His People. This book isn't just about ministering, it's about how to lead the ministering effort in your Relief Society or Elders Quorum. Again, visit leadinglds.org/ministering book to get a free copy for you or your favorite leader. Leading LDS is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enhancing leadership ability and capacity of lay leaders in order to accelerate the mission of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Leading LDS is not owned nor operated by the LDS Church, and any opinions expressed on this podcast do not reflect the views of any specific organization. All donations given to Leading LDS are tax deductible and go towards the support of Leading LDS. For more information, visit leadinglds.org. Hey everyone, this is Kurt Frankum, and this is another WeWick episode. What does WeWick stand for? It stands for What I Wish I Knew. And this is sort of a segment that I want to do more often, at least once a month, where we just take maybe a certain program or a question or an issue or a topic that all leaders face and just gather a bunch of quick perspectives, put them in one podcast and see if we can learn anything from it. And so being October here in a few days or whenever it is you're listening to this, a tithing settlement is coming up on October 15th is usually a free game for bishoprics to start the tithing settlement process and to get all that done before the end of the year. And thank goodness they've given us an extra month a few years ago to do that. And so we want to just ask a bunch of leaders how they go about organizing tithing settlement and what they wish they knew before doing tithing settlement. And so this is actually, some of these clips are from a previous episode that we released, but we just reformatted it, re-released it with some new perspectives and wanted to share it with the world. So we'll go through a few of these, and we want you to know that if you have a perspective that would be worth sharing, please go to the post that is accompanying this episode, and there's an opportunity for you to submit your perspective on what you wish you knew before hosting or doing a tithing settlement. And this could be a bishop, this could be maybe a member of your bishopric, or even a clerk could submit their perspective. Whomever you are or any relation that you've had with tithing settlement, we'd love to hear from you and include it in the future episodes of What I Wish I Knew Before Doing a Tithing Settlement. So let's get into it, and I'll be at the end. I recorded that segment a couple years ago about what I wish I knew before tithing settlement, so I'll let you hear that as well. Here we go.
Hello there, Leading LDS World. My name is Brandon Levitt. I am currently serving as the bishop in my ward and the priest quorum president. I'm from Longdale, Nevada, which is just outside of Las Vegas. Most of us that live in Longdale work in Las Vegas, so not too far of a drive. I have been interviewed before on the Leading LDS podcast under the How I Lead segments back in February of this year, I think. So it was a great experience to be interviewed by Kurt. As far as scheduling households to sign up for tithing settlement, to get them all scheduled and signed up, we don't do anything very special. We don't use any technology as far as getting signups. Good old-fashioned clipboard with a schedule on it, every 10 minutes, a different time there, and just a blank line next to the time. And we have our clerk take it around to Relief Society, to Elders Quorum, High Priest Group, Sunday School, and just pass it around until it's full. I keep it on my desk, so if somebody walks by the bishop's office or I have an interview, I'll invite them to sign up as well. We don't use any technology other than good old-fashioned pen and paper for that process. I will have my executive secretary type it up once it's all done, and he does send it to me on Google Docs, but that's probably about as close as we get to using any technology as far as the process of signing up goes. I don't know if there's anything really unique about leveraging our time. When I meet with the families, there's a few things that I do make sure I do. I do tithing settlement kind of a super Saturday, that's what we call it. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'm here for 12 hours, take a lunch break and a dinner break, but other than that, I'm here for 12 hours, and we try to get it all done in one long Saturday. Last year was the first time we've tried that. Traditionally, our ward's done the Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday night signups for a month or so. And I just didn't see how I could keep up with my workload and and do that. So I wanted to get it done on a good long Saturday. So that's what we do. There's always my first counselor takes the first half of the day. My second counselor takes the second half of the day. I'm here all day, of course. And then we have a clerk, an assistant clerk, and executive secretary who kind of rotates in and out also. So there's always at least two guys out there. One of them always a Bishopbrook member, because it takes a team. As families show up, they give them their ordinances sheet to review, and we make sure that they have the correct email on LDS.org, which is important for communication. And one thing that we do that has worked really well for us is we have a pretty large ward, about just under 300 for average sacrament meeting attendance. So we're pretty big, and we can get behind quite easily on setting people apart. So we use tithing settlement to get caught up on that. One of the first questions what my counselors ask as families show up is, hey, have you been set apart for your calling? If they haven't, the counselor and either one of the clerks or executive secretary will go into the other room. We're really lucky. We're at the stake center, and we have a free unused bishop's office and clerk's office right across the hall that we have access to. So my counselors get to use those for interviews year round, which is a blessing. So he'll take that individual or both into the other room and set them apart if they haven't been. So it's a really good time for us to get caught up on our setting apart, which is something we feel is important. So that might be a little unique, I'm not sure. I got some really good advice one time from the high council representative for my ward, my first year doing tithing settlement. And he told me he used to always make sure he used that time with the families to tell the children how much he loved their parents and how lucky they were to have such wonderful people as parents. That I tried that last year, and it was wonderful. It seemed like that was the time I'd always get emotional. The spirit was strong, and I could see the parents really appreciated it to hear that, but I could tell the kids needed to hear that. Sometimes I think our youth need to be told how lucky they are to have wonderful parents. So that's something I'd try to do other than the standard tithing and fast offerings. One thing that helps us stay on schedule, because when you're doing 12 hours, you're trying to get everybody in on one day, is on the other side of the door here, the clerk's office, either one of my counselors or the clerk or executive secretary, when 9 minutes are up, he gives two or three short knocks on that door, which really helped us to stay on schedule. It takes a lot of pressure off me as the bishop, because the family hears the knock, they know what it means, I know what it means, and we can kind of start wrapping it up there for the last 60 seconds. And that was really key to keeping us on track last year, so we'll certainly do that again. I usually have a treat. We've got a big candy jar here in our office, when the kids come in and when they leave, we always offer them a treat, and mom and dad, and they seem to like that, to end on a sugar high, I guess. So yeah, that's kind of how we do it. We're not unique in any way, I don't think, but it works well for us, and doing it the big long day helps me as a bishop to stay on schedule as far as everything else that I've got going on with interviews and people that I'm meeting with. I didn't anticipate loving tithing settlement like I did last year. That was my first year, and I loved it because I got to sit down and meet with a lot of the good members of the ward that I never get to sit down and interview. And that was a wonderful experience, a very spiritual experience, and it really gave me the opportunity to express my love to some of those hardest working members, families in the ward that do so much. So I really appreciated that. And yeah, that's kind of how we do it here. So I appreciate the opportunity. I really appreciate the content found in Leading LDS. It's a wonderful resource. I find myself either on the website or listening to a podcast almost daily. And just wonderful, wonderful stuff there from so many talented and wise individuals that are working together to prepare us for the second coming of the Lord and to build up Zion. It's a wonderful resource. So thank you.
My name is Mark Sieverkrop. I serve as Bishop of the Ephrata Third Ward in Ephrata, Washington in the United States. I was interviewed on Leading LDS back in September of 2016. I think it was How I Lead number 59, I believe. And let's see. When we do tithing settlement, what we do is I have my clerk and my secretary put together a sign-up sheet, and we put that on the door. And I typically try to start it. The church says you can start as early as October 15th. Usually I try to start them around the 1st of November, maybe the middle of November. And the reason being is I want to be done with them by the middle of December, everybody that signed up. That way it gives me 2 to 3 weeks in order to have my secretary reach out to those that didn't sign up for tithing settlement and snag those people so that I can visit with them as well. Now, we don't use any technology or anything, but now that we're using Asana as a bishopric, I think we might use it a little bit for that. We may use Asana to assign some tasks. I know as far as setting up the tithing settlement and when to print off the reports and when to get the signups done and everything, I did assign Asana tasks to my clerk and my secretary for those tasks so that we could track that and make sure that those things get done. But other than that, we haven't used any specific technology, though I do know that you can report the tithing on LCR now. And so I may be using that during the interviews to just mark them that way right away, depending on how easy that is. I haven't looked at it yet. As far leveraging the time with the families, I think one of the things that I've found is really the declaration of the tithing for me is it's the most important part, obviously, because it's tithing settlement, but it's not the only thing I focus on. One of the things that we really try to do is I ask how the family's doing. If it's a family that has, you know, the parents have several callings, then I'll ask how their callings are going, if they're doing okay, if they feel overwhelmed. I just use it as a time to just check in and to see how they're doing and to see if there's anything going on that I need to be aware of or that we can help out with as a bishopric or as a ward, or that their organizations, you know, the Elders Quorum or the High Priest Group or the Relief Society can help out with to take off any of those burdens that they may be facing. The other thing that I do is I really use it as a time to ask a lot of questions, but also to express my appreciation for them, my gratitude for everything that they do. You know, I'll make a point to mention something that they've done, or, you know, tell them that I appreciate the service that they're performing, their calling, or I appreciate them, you know, the home teaching that they're doing, you know, the people they're visiting and the ways that they've helped them. So I really try to not only ask how they're doing, but also let them know that as a bishopric, we really appreciate them and all that they do to help the work move forward in our area. I do always have treats for the kids, the youth, you know, that come in for tithing settlement with their parents. I think it's a really important thing for kids to come in. I know I have some families that, for whatever reason, don't think it's important for their kids to come, but I really think it's a neat experience for kids to come in and to declare their tithing status if they've, you know, earned some birthday money or some money for working around the house or they have a job or whatever it is, to be able to declare that for themselves. But also, I think it's important for them to see that that's an important process, that declaring your tithing every year, because that's something as a new convert, when I first joined the church, I didn't understand how important that was. And I didn't realize how important those reports are for the church, but more importantly, how important it is just as a member to be able to say, yes, I am a full tithe bearer. Yes, I'm doing good, because that's just been a really neat experience for me to see families do that. And so I do have a treat. I enjoy having them there. The caveat is I have treats all year round. I have a big jar that says Bishop's Stash, and there's always candy in it for the kids. But I give them candy during tithing settlement. And I just, you know, at the end, I just want to mention and just say thank you to Leading LDS for everything that you're doing to help expand and increase the leadership in the church. I love listening to the interviews. I love getting ideas from other bishops and other ward and stake leaders and just being able to say, wow, I never thought of doing that. Let's do this. Let's try this. And I've done that several times with interviews I've done. So thank you, Kurt. Thank you for all that you've put together. And thank you for putting together this this compilation about tithing settlement so that those in those positions can do it more effectively and help our members to understand the importance of declaring their tithing status every year during tithing settlement.
My name is Nate Waldron. I'm the second counselor in the bishopric in a ward in Clinton, Utah. I was interviewed several years ago for a How I Lead segment and have loved leading LDS. It's greatly enhanced my leadership, so I'm grateful for everything that Kurt does here. As far as tithing settlement, this will be my second time going through a tithing settlement with a new bishopric. Last year, we had a bishopric change since last year, so it's going to be interesting to see how they're different, but you know, we're fairly simple in how we organize it. We're going to do signups on the bishop's door, and people can sign up starting, I think, early November and on through the month, and hope to plan to have it done by the end of the month. Nothing, you know, unfortunately, we don't use any technology. I wish we could get there, but the makeup of the bishopric just doesn't support that at this point. Working on that. So it's, at this point, the bishop plans on, you know, doing fairly short 10-minute interviews for tithing settlement and really focus on just the tithing settlement, getting to know the members that he doesn't know a little bit, but with only 10 minutes, there's not much time there. Yeah, so like I said, there's nothing really special that we're going to do outside of focusing on tithing settlement. And really, it's a chance to, I think, just get members in and move on. Maybe there's a wasted opportunity there, but we're a fairly new bishopric. The bishop was in a bishopric previously, and he's been in now. We've been in since May. So, you know, he'll get to know a lot of the members better. He's been in state calling, so he hasn't had a chance to know a lot of the members like others have. So as far as a treat, I'm not sure what he's planning on doing, if he's going to give a treat to the kids or not. I think that was mentioned, but I was unable to attend the last bishopric meeting, so that may or may not happen. We'll see. I think that covers it. Hopefully that's what you're looking for, Kurt.
Hi, my name is Marco Ferrini. I live in Florence, Italy, and I'm currently serving here as a bishop. I've been interviewed this past summer on Leading LDS for the section How I Lead, and I've been asked to talk a bit about how we handle the tithing settlement over here. Considering that not all the members are very acquainted with technology, we still do things in the old way. I work in close collaboration with the executive secretary to manage the appointments, and also we hang a blank schedule sheet next to my office where members can write their name to pick the day and time for their interview. During this time, as I'm very busy meeting with families, I usually ask my counselors to do some extra tasks that normally I deal personally with. This is for me a special occasion to meet with my work families, and tithing takes only about 25% of our time together. I love to take time to know them better and share a specific message I previously prayed for. Something that I always try to remember and emphasize is the importance of cultivating faith and spirituality at home by reading the scripture regularly as a family as well as individually, and making family prayers a real healthy habit, and by always finding time to spend together as a family doing family home evening. To prepare this, I've been asked if I gave out treats, and honestly, I never did. But I think it's a really cool idea, and I think this year I'll go for it. Maybe next year more people will find time more easily to meet with me for tithing settlement. Well, thank you, Kurt, for the chance to share this, but especially for all the great work you do with Leading LDS. I love this podcast. Ciao to everyone from Italy.
Hey, this is Aaron Chesley from Boise, Idaho. What I wish I would have known before doing a tithing settlement. I wish I would have listened to all of Kurt Frankum's talks on tithing settlements where I think he did one where they said they did one tithing settlement on a Saturday. I think that's what we might try this year as a ward. We would set we had all of the slots filled, and inevitably, you know, people wouldn't show. And so they would say, okay, we're going to go one more week. And so we went for 2 months, and I just wish I said, okay, we're going to cut it off, and this is it. And so that's what I wish I would have known. Also, make sure that you have a plan, like a lesson. It's more than just, you know, talking about tithing and what tithing is used for, but have some type of a lesson that you can relate to all of the kids and the adults that makes it fun for these kids to come and speak to you as a bishop. Last year on my tithing settlements, I talked about a gumball machine, and I said, tithing is like turning the knob on a gumball machine. You put the money in, and then you turn the knob, and then you receive blessings. And so I give them, you know, the kids candy about, you know, kind of getting out of that that example. But having something fun and something that these kids enjoy as part of that interview with the tithing settlement is something I'd also recommend.
Well, I want to thank everybody for contributing to this episode, and I think it was great to hear these different perspectives and just having them answer one quick question in a few minutes. And I appreciate the kind words and the shout outs that they provided to Leading LDS. I hope it continues to be a valuable resource for many. Now, I want to share my tithing settlement approach and what I learned over the 5 years that I did tithing settlement. So as far as how I scheduled households in the wards to come meet with me as their bishop for tithing settlement, I believe the first year I just did the typical put, you know, a slot of names or put a list of times that I'd be available and have people write that in. I think even 1 year I tried to do all in one Saturday, which isn't a bad idea. I think it was great to get a big chunk out of the way, and people seemed to respond to that really well. The following years, I think I found that the tear-off schedule that I've used, and that was great just because it helped people remember, and it was very easy to write their name down then just tear off the name and time for their for them to remember. And if you're not familiar with the tithing settlement tear off sign up sheet, I'll link to it on this on the show notes of this episode, and it's something I wrote up and put together over on mormonlifehacker.com. I believe the third year I tried to do an electronic approach to getting people to sign up, since many people are, you know, on their devices and such. I believe we used a Google Forms system where we just created a Google form and said, what's your name? What time works best for you? Kind of in a drop-down menu. And then if we had double booking on a certain time, then we would just, the executive secretary would call them and adjust them by maybe a half hour or something. And generally they were open to making that adjustment. There's also a website called youcanbook.me, and it's a simple online platform for people to sign up for interviews or time slots. And so that way you can put all the time slots you want in there. And then when somebody takes one, it disappears from the list. And so you don't get too many double bookings. But I don't know, to me, it seemed a bit too cumbersome, but for others, it might work. And there's actually another post on Mormon Life Hacker. This one, I believe Tevye, who runs Mormon Life Hacker, put that together. And I'll link to that as well. But it's called 2-Day Tithing Settlement. And really good article with some good technical ideas and approaches that others have tried to expedite the tithing settlement process. I believe in the final 2 years, what I did is I just handed everybody a form that they could fill out. There's a paper form that we just printed out a bunch with some times on it. And I told them, you pick one date that makes sense for you. And then we collected all those, and then our executive secretary went through and made sure that there weren't anybody double booked, and he was able to bunch those together so we didn't have large gaps of dead time. And that's one thing you'll find with the, you know, just taping a schedule to your door. Somebody's going to sign up for the first spot, and somebody's going to sign up for the very end spot, and then you have to adjust those. So I just said, just tell me 2 or 3 times that best worked for you, and most likely one of those will work. And to me, it worked fine, and maybe there's a little bit more work on the administrative side for the clerk or executive secretary, but it worked pretty well. And that's probably what I'd do if I was ever in a bishopric again. Outside of that, there wasn't really any other technologies that we used, other than the one crucial part is to get the executive secretary of the day of tithing settlement to give them a text about a half hour prior to their appointment and just keep people reminded that, hey, tonight is the night that you signed up, or today is the day that you signed up for tithing settlement. And so just be aware to come. And that seemed to remind a lot of people that had forgotten about tithing settlement. And there's nothing worse than having to reschedule an appointment that you thought you had. Now, once the family or the member of the ward actually came for their appointment, it was me and them in the office. There's a few approaches I took. So I wanted to make sure it was uplifting. And, you know, each appointment was scheduled for about, I believe, 5 to 10 minutes. And so I really tried to fill that time and try to make it well worth their time. So really how I approached this every year was I sort of had a pre-planned lesson, as if we had a 10-minute Sunday school lesson that I was going to give. And whether kids were there, it was just a single member or just a couple, we would have a dialogue there back and forth of me asking them questions and really diving into the doctrine of tithing settlement, why we do it. And a great place to start with this, and this could be a quick lesson that you give any member, because most members don't realize why we do tithing settlement. They just think maybe it's something that's in the handbooks that we are told to do, but it actually comes from the Doctrine and Covenants. So I would often refer them to, and we would open it up right there to Doctrine and Covenants section 120. So once I opened up to Doctrine and Covenants 120, I would then ask them the question of who is on the council, the disposition of the tithes. And a lot of people really didn't know, or they would guess the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, the First Presidency, and then they couldn't always get the third one, which is the presiding bishopric. These three groups, if any dollar is spent with tithing funds, it has to go through the Council of Disposition of Tithes, which are made up of these three bodies of people. So it was an educational experience, and there was many lifelong members of the church that really had no idea what the Council of the Disposition of the Tithes were, nor what that it was stated in Doctrine and Covenants 120. So just kind of a good icebreaker to start into a lesson there. And then I have some various quotes that I would share with them, and I'll put this in the show notes of this episode. But I would talk about how tithing is one of the many standards that allow us to receive saving ordinances. Brigham Young wrote, "Enter steadily and regularly upon a strict observance of the law of tithing. Then comes up the house of the Lord, and be taught in his way, and walk in his paths." Elder Taylor then taught, "It is our duty to pay our tithing, 1/10 of all we possess, and then 1/10 of our increase, and a man who has not paid his tithing is unfit to be baptized for the dead. It is our duty to pay our tithing. If a man has not faith enough to attend to these things, he has not faith enough to save himself and his friends. So I use these quotes to kind of talk about, you know, this is why we ask you in your temple recommend interview if you're a full tithe payer. Paying that tithe shows faith and obedience in order to accept higher covenants and higher laws. And then I would ask them, well, what would happen? Do you think the Lord needs your money? You know, is this a program just so we can keep the lights on in all the church buildings? And of course, that's the money that goes towards, you know, electricity bills and those things. But I'd ask them, does the Lord really need your money? And of course, after a short thinking, they'd say, well, no, he doesn't actually need my money. And then I would read this quote from James E. Talmage. Tithing is the Lord's revenue system, and he requires it of the people, not because he is lacking in gold or silver, but because we need to pay it. The prime purpose behind the establishment of the law of tithe is the development of the soul of the tithe payer, rather than the providing of revenue. The latter is an all-important purpose, for so far as money is needed for the carrying on of the work of the church, the Lord requires money that is sanctified by the faith of the giver. But blessings beyond estimate are assured unto him who strictly conforms to the law of the tithe, because the Lord hath so commanded. And so this created a good discussion of really thinking about this money that was paid. It wasn't paid because we know the Lord could, you know, influence the Quorum of the Twelve to make certain investments in companies or stocks or whatever it is. And the Lord does have, and the church does have holdings in some of these, you know, in their for-profit arms of the church. But there are various ways that the Lord could make money, right? And he could say, the Lord knows, well, maybe it's a good year for potatoes, so we're going to invest all the money into potato farming and have a ton of profit by the end of the year, right? But the Lord requires this money for the giver himself, because by giving this money, that money is given through faith, and therefore it's sanctified and holy money. And really gave a good perspective on tithing that created a good spirit as I was meeting with the members. I'll read a few more quotes that I would share with them. And again, I wouldn't read all these quotes to them, but maybe I'd pick and choose depending on how it was. Or sometimes I'd meet with so many families, I'd get tired of reading one quote and switch to another. Another quote, this is by George Q. Cannon. It says, I think when people say they haven't money enough to pay tithing, they should say they haven't faith enough to pay tithing. It is my conviction that we pay tithing with faith and not with money. Because when a man has so much money that he has a large tithing, he can't pay tithing. He has too much money and too little faith to pay tithing and just feels he can't afford it. And then I'd also always have the quote standing by as far as many times individuals ask me, you know, well, how much should I pay? Should I pay on gross or net? And in those situations, obviously, I would read the simple paragraph out of the handbook, which says the law of tithing was given to the whole church. The First Presidency has written that the law of tithing is for us today. The simplest statement we know of is the statement of the Lord himself, namely, that the members of the church should pay 1/10 of all their interest annually, which is understood to mean income. No one is justified in making any other statement than this. And so I would then just turn it on them and say, this is up to you to determine what your increase is, and whatever you feel that increase is, and you pay that in full, then you are more than welcome to say that you are a full tithe payer. Now, during my last 2 years, I definitely went back to some of these quotes and referenced them, but I also took time to mention fast offerings, because as I've mentioned in other episodes, fast offerings was a huge part of my time as bishop as far as the welfare program. I had a lot of requests for welfare, and you've heard me mention that before if you've listened to Leading LDS for some time. So I'd always mention, I'd share with them how those fast offering funds are being used and my basic approach to that. I informed them that from all the fast offerings that we collected as a ward, only covered 10% of what we were spending to in the welfare program. Now, most wards wouldn't say that, and we were being an inner city ward, that was just the case. And so I made them a challenge to consider increasing their fast offering because it was blessing the ward members in my ward. And so I just felt like making them aware of how fast offering funds was being used really made it more real as they were writing that check out. And for any of you bishops in more affluent areas or more traditional areas where you aren't spending all the fast offering funds, please take my message to them and know how grateful we are in the Lee Ward in the South Salt Lake area
that we are spending that fast offering funds for families and people in need that truly need it. Now, we say no a lot, but please let them know as you meet with them during fast offering funds how much we are blessed by their fast offering contributions, because we can't cover it all of our on our own contributions. But of course, I definitely wanted to try, so I'd always encourage members to consider increasing their fast offering so we could maybe cover 20 or 30 or 40% of what is spent in our ward. Now, one thing I didn't mention as far as how we leverage the time as a bishopric with the members there is, and this is something I couldn't stress more, is take photos of members if they're not in the LDS tools. Speaking from a stake presidency point of view, this helps us so much to become familiar with names and who people are in the stake. And you yourself, as you're contemplating callings, you may have a bishopric member that says, oh, who is that person again? You can pull it up on LDS tools. And because you were efficiently taking photos during tithing settlement, that photo is going to be there. And so it's a good time of year to not only review the records like our handbooks and clerks trainings encourage us to do, but also take the time to take their picture and get it in LDS tools. Now, yes, I always provided a treat. Now, I generally went to Costco a few days before and got some good cookies and things that I didn't want to just be like, oh, grab a fun-sized Snickers bar and be like, wow, this is a significant treat, right? And so we always reserve some budget money in order for us to cover the tithing settlement treats because people really enjoy that and appreciated that. Now, one advice I'd give you is always make a healthy treat available. And so when I'd go to Costco and get a bunch of cookies and things, I'd always go over to the produce and get a bag of apples or oranges or some of those cutie oranges, right? The small little oranges. And people, I was always surprised how many people appreciated the healthy option because many people took from the healthy option. All right, so that was my basic approach of tithing settlement. I went a little longer than the others, but hey, it's my podcast. I can do what I want. But I would love for you, if you are a bishop out there that has trying some new ideas or have tried some new ideas in the past and would like to share them, this is an episode that's going to be continuing to grow each year. So if you're interested in making a recording like this, please reach out to me. It takes literally 10 to 15 minutes. We just ask for a 5-minute recording. I send you some questions to answer, and then you will bless the lives of other bishops by sharing what you are doing as a bishopric. And you don't have to be the bishop to do this. You could be the executive secretary, one of the counselors, the clerk, whatever works for you, and share what works for you in tithing settlement, and others can benefit from those ideas. As always, all we ask at Leading LDS is $1 a month for the content that we're producing here at Leading LDS. And I can't stress enough how much it is blessing us. I see those dollar donations come in. Many people are doing that, but we need more for sure. So consider today to go to leadinglds.org/help, H-E-L-P. At the top of that page, there's a link to contribute $1 a month or more to the Leading LDS cause. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling. Good luck with tithing settlement. Hey everyone, that concludes this episode. Thanks for listening. I hope that you gained something, maybe a new idea, a new gem that you can implement this year as you approach tithing settlement to help you have a more uplifting experience, more satisfying experience as you interact with members of your ward, because appointment after appointment, it can get turned into long days and you can turn quite monotonous. But we don't want that. We want it to be a special experience for everybody that has the opportunity to walk into the bishop's office and state their tithing settlement, right? If you have a perspective, again, we need more of these, and I want to add to this episode more and more, have additional episodes to follow this in years to come of other approaches and unique ideas that bishoprics have out there as far as accomplishing tithing settlement. So please don't keep that information to yourself. Go to leadinglds.org and find the post that's linked to this tithing settlement post. If you just search for tithing settlement, it'll pop up, or the show notes of this episode will take you there as well. And there'll be a nice big button you can hit there to record just a 5-minute or less clip about how you approach tithing settlement or what you wish you knew before tithing settlement. Also, there's a variety of other questions that we're going to tackle in relation to what I wish I knew. And so if you go to leadinglds.org/wiwik, W-I-W-I-K, there will be a list of questions, a recording option for you to answer, and just submit all sorts of, answer some of those questions that maybe you have experience with, because we will have other episodes like this. Or if there's a question that you'd like to hear on the WeWick segment, go to leadinglds.org/contact and submit a response to say, hey, it would be cool to do a WeWick about how to do a wedding as a bishop, or how to organize the best combined mutual activity, or whatever it is. We'll get this information out there and survey a bunch of leaders. All right, guys, thanks for listening.
And don't forget to visit leadinglds.org/ministeringbook to get your free copy of A Culture of Ministering. It's free and will change the way you lead. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the own and only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness. The loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.